Okay. So, as we're in a series entitled The Truth About the Devil. And this is a series that we have been seeking to understand what God's Word tells us about the adversary, Satan. We have learned much as we've marched from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis, up through into the New Testament. I want to ask you that as we have gone along, you may have had questions as we have approached varying different subjects. And I'd like to encourage you, if you have some questions concerning this topic, to submit them to me. Lord willing, maybe one of the final sermons that I do will seek to answer some of the questions that you may have in this regard. I'm not going to claim to be able to answer them all. My answers may not be adequate, but maybe I can at least point us to the Scriptures and what the Scriptures say. That is an adequate answer for us as believers. And so if you have questions, submit them to me, and perhaps that will be one of our final messages in this series on this topic, the truth about the devil. The name Satan, it means adversary. We've learned that. Satan is an opposer. He is against the work of God and the people of God. In fact, we even see him as somebody that is against people in general. In my studies, it's interesting to see how even in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see Jesus healing people, and it says that they were bound by Satan. There was a diseased woman for 18 years. The Scripture tells us she was bound by Satan. Why? Why would he do such a thing? He is an opposer of people because people are the ones through whom God desires to be glorified. You see, people are God's prized creation. How do we know that? The book of Genesis. How do we know that? Because God sent his son to earth and he became a human being, not an animal. He became a man. And so Satan is an opposer. This morning, what I'd like to do is just highlight some other ways in which Satan is our adversary. And we're going to do this through looking at one character in the Scriptures, and that is the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter many times gets a bad rap because he gets himself in trouble. Let me just remind you, we don't have the full recording of his life. We only have what God wants us to know. And isn't it interesting that what God wants us to know about Peter so often focuses on how much he uses his mouth and how his mouth will get him into trouble, but also how his mouth is used for the glory of God? Let me just remind you that this Apostle Peter was one of the primary spokespersons of the early church. After Jesus had ascended back into heaven, the Apostle Peter was in the forefront of this movement that became known as the church. But today we're going to look at how Satan was an opposer, an adversary, and we're going to see that through a look at Peter's life. So beginning in Matthew chapter 16. So please go to Matthew chapter 16 this morning. My goal is to highlight two specific passages, and you may already have those passages in mind, but two specific passages that involve Peter and involve Jesus and involve the adversary. Matthew chapter 16. Now, as I like to do, I like to go through the context, give you a little background, which is very, very important as we look at this subject. I would like us to just beginning with the context in verse 13. And again, I'm not going to read this, but I'll just highlight what is taking place. We have Jesus who's traveling around, and in verse 13, he asks this question of his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he's talking to his disciples and he says, who do people think that I am? Who are they saying I am? What's my identity? Well, their answer to that, the disciples' answer, is some are saying John the Baptist, I'm in verse 14, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So the people are thinking that Jesus might just be one of these great prophets coming back from the dead. They just don't understand. You can see the confusion. Well, then Jesus in verse 15, he says directly to his disciples, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And I do want to stop and ask that question to you. Who is Jesus? You need to have a clear, definitive, and understanding of that, of Jesus' identity. Who is Jesus? So Jesus asks his disciples, who do you think that I am? Who do you say? In verse 16, here is our character, Peter. Simon Peter speaks up, and he answers, and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, there's a lot wrapped up in that. The Christ, that means the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that God would send, as the prophet said, you are the one. You are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus, in verse 17, answered and said unto him, unto Peter, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm not going to go into detail on all of that, but essentially what he is saying is, listen, Peter, there is much in store for you, for the kingdom of God, for my purposes. In verse 20, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So now we come to verse 21, and here we begin to really see the devil and his work. Look at verse 21. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, what is the scriptures clearly telling us? Jesus knew why he came. He knew why he had come. Because he, being God, understood the redemptive plan of history. That is what God had in store to allow human beings, enable human beings to go from their sinfulness, their bondage in sin, to the freedom and life in Christ. Jesus knew why he had come. And so he began to tell his disciples about the future, the upcoming suffering that he would endure. But not just suffering. He would be killed. But not just that. He would be arisen. He would rise again from the dead. So keep this in mind, that the disciples understood that, because here Jesus is telling them, they understood that this was in Jesus' future. Now, if you have a dear friend who you have spent some 2 or 3 years with, you have spent many hours traveling the country with him, and now he begins to talk about his upcoming suffering and death and resurrection, in your heart would be stirred with emotion, and you would have this internal struggle of, wait a minute. Why? Why do you have to go through that? death, killed, suffering? Surely, there must be some other way. How do I know that might have been in their thinking? Well, let's see what Peter has to say. Peter tells us in verse 22, he says, Peter took him, which is almost this picture of, Jesus, come here. Come over here. I got to talk to you about something. And he says, Peter took him and began to, what? Rebuke him. Now here, this is Peter rebuking the Lord. And he says to him, be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto you. What is Peter doing? What is Peter doing? He is standing in opposition to the redemptive plan of God. Now, does Peter understand that? Is Peter processing this? I don't know that he is. I think he's responding with the natural emotion of a human being. My dear friend, you're talking about suffering and being killed. Come on. This is not going to be. You got me right here. Jesus brings some clarity and helps us understand this because Jesus responds to Peter in verse 23. Jesus turned to him and he said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan. Think about that. Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense unto me. For you savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Listen, Satan is an opposer of the work of God. How can we say that? The redemptive plan of God is in full motion. And Jesus is revealing it here to his disciples. And here one of the disciples has his mind on the things of men and not on the things of God. And he opposes this plan, and Jesus' response is, get behind me, Satan. What he is doing is he is associating what Peter is saying and what Peter is doing with the very nature of the adversary. He is an opposer of the work of God. Not only do we see he's an opposer of the work of God from this passage, but you could really essentially say he's an opposer of the Word of God. Because what Jesus is telling his disciples, Satan is contradicting. You understand that Satan wants to discredit the Lord Jesus. Satan doesn't want the Lord Jesus to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I believe Satan understood the Old Testament, understood passages maybe like Isaiah chapter 53 that talks about the coming servant that would shed his blood, that would bear the iniquities upon himself. Surely, we see here the opposition of the adversary, the devil. And we see it through Peter in this response. Turn over now to Luke chapter 22. Go to Luke chapter 22. Here we have in Luke 22, we have the Last Supper. We have Jesus with his disciples there in that upper room. The Gospels, as you read all of them, really gives us a very full picture of that evening. As we understand Jesus' final days, this was the very night that he was betrayed. And so he's with all of his disciples. He washes their feet. He spends the Passover time with them. He institutes communion, the Lord's Supper, which we celebrate regularly here as a church today. He talks about there would be one that would be a betrayer. And we know that one is Judas Iscariot. In verse 24, notice there was also strife among them. Who was them? That was the disciples. I mean, this is the very night that Jesus is betrayed, and now there's strife amongst these men. Why? They're wondering which of them should be accounted the greatest. I mean, this is sad. But these are real human beings, real people. Verses 25 through 30, we see the Lord Jesus confronting that strife, confronting that attitude of who wants to be the greatest. And then look at verse 31. And then the Lord said, Simon, Simon, this is Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, or he desires you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That's a great statement. Those are great statements. And we could just leave it right at that. But listen, the Bible doesn't. What does the Bible say? The Bible says this, and he said unto him, Peter said back to the Lord, Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death. And so then the Lord Jesus said, well, then I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow, the rooster shall not crow this day before that thou shalt three times deny that you know me. And if you are familiar with what takes place in the following hours, you know that indeed Peter, on three separate occasions, denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus. And after that third time, the rooster crowed. And the scripture tells us that Peter understood that, and he went and he wept bitterly. This passage of scripture describes one of the darkest days of this man's life that we know of. Can you imagine? I mean, it goes from the highlight of Jesus washing his feet and this time of the celebrating the Passover and Jesus speaking words of comfort. It flows from that into the Lord warning, speaking to Peter and saying, listen, Peter, Satan desires to have you. This is eerily similar to what we see in Job. Except in Job, we know Satan desired to have a work in Job, to work in Job's life, but Job wasn't aware of that. But here, Peter is told Satan wants to have you. In other words, he wants to mess up your life. He wants to use you as his tool against me. Jesus is opening up Peter's eyes and helping him understand that he indeed is going to be entering into a very difficult and dark time in his life. He's telling him this. He's telling him that the adversary, Satan, is the one behind this. In no way, since reform, do we see that Satan indwells Peter. We see Satan seeking to oppress, seeking to work against Peter in his life. We see in Peter's response, where he says in verse 33, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death. We see a self-centered focus. His zeal and his passion is based upon himself and his own strength. And he neglects the grace and the power of God. As we consider the opposition of Satan, there's something else that this passage gives us. And this is beautiful, Christian. Because verse 32, what Jesus does is he speaks of what Satan wants to do in Peter's life. But then he says, "This is what I'm doing for you." You see it? What does it say in verse 32? It says, "But I have what?" This is Jesus. And Jesus says, "I have prayed for you." So coupled with the news that Satan wants to work in your life and sift you as wheat, basically saying there is going to be an intense struggle happening in your life, and then he highlights what that's going to be, the denial. He couples that with, "But Peter, listen to me, I have prayed for you." What have I prayed? He says, "I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." And this is such a powerful picture of faith. Because praying is words communicating to God, the Almighty One. And we pray because we believe by faith that God is interested in our lives. He is able to change our lives and work. It's faith. And Jesus says, "I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." And then I love this. He tells Peter, "You're going to be all right. You're going to come through." Because he says, "And when you are converted," or "when you return back to me, strengthen the brethren." Oh, Christian, I hope you catch this. I hope you catch this beautiful testimony that Jesus prayed for Peter. And I want you to understand that the Bible tells us that Jesus remains an advocate for us with the Father. He speaks to God on the behalf of his people. You, me. When Peter is going through those dark moments of his life and he's denying and denies and denies, and then he weeps. He had a decision to make. There was a choice before him because he had denied his Lord. "I don't even know the man." And then he goes and he is weeping. Perhaps you have been there. This crisis of belief when you know you have failed God miserably and you have a decision to make. Is God going to embrace and accept me back, or should I just walk away? This is a crisis of belief, of faith. And Peter's faith is based on the word of God. Because what do you think came back to his mind? "He told me he had prayed for me. He told me that my faith fail not. He told me that when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Here I am weeping because I have failed God and denied him. But my faith tells me to get up, to stand, to serve. That it will be okay. That my Lord has prayed for me." And we know the glorious testimony. You read about it in the book of Acts. You read about it at the end of John. You want to read a beautiful passage. The end of John tells us about Jesus' encounter with Peter. after all of this takes place, after Jesus died and rose again, and Jesus and Peter have a conversation. And Jesus thrust forth his servant Peter into ministry. Did he deny him? Oh yeah, he did deny him. Oh, is Peter a broken man, a sinful man? Oh yes, he is. But God chose to use him and to use him for his purposes and his kingdom. What we see here, when you are converted, when you return back to me, strengthen the brethren. You see, what the Word of God gives to us as a church and as people is it gives us the plan of salvation, how we can have a right relationship with Jesus, how we can have true peace. The Word of God tells us that there is forgiveness of sin found at the cross of Jesus. And the Word of God tells us if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which tells me and should tell you that you still are a sinner, even though you're saved and a Christian, you still sin. But those sins do not spell failure. Those sins spell come to the cross and accept forgiveness. It's there. He died for you. And it tells us, the Word of God tells us, that there are good works planned for you. That God has works for you to do for Him. For you are God's workmanship, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. That's for you, sinner. For me, sinner. Sinner saved by grace. Sinner saved with a purpose for serving Christ. Although Satan stands as an adversary, Satan desires to disrupt the plan of God, the work of God. Satan speaks against God's word. But back to faith. Peter had to believe that what Jesus said was true. Just like you have to believe what God's word says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do you believe that? If you believe that, that's faith. You see, believer, our faith is so crucial to our life as a believer. The book of 1 John speaks to this. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Satan is our adversary. He opposes. Jesus tells us that through this interaction with Peter. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Listen to what John writes in 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our, what church? Our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Christian, the Word of God tells us there's victory. It's ours. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That victory is found in our faith. And as you walk through life and you experience the dark times, the oppressing times, the times where you are in a crisis of belief, faith is the victory. faith in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Faith in the Word of God. That's what we have. Do you know the Word of God? Spend time in the Word of God regularly, because what takes place in those moments of crisis is that the very Spirit of God in a believer takes the Word of God that you have read, that you have heard, and He will bring it back to your mind, and He will tell you, listen, this is truth. This is truth. This is truth. And you will see the truth in contrast to the lies of the devil, who contradicts the work of God, who opposes the Word of God. And your faith in the truth, in that you will find victory. What does it say? It says, for whatsoever is born of God. Are you born of God today? Because if you're born of God, you overcome the world. Overcome the world. The world is the kingdom of Satan. He's the God of this world. But those who are born of God overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So did Peter get a bad rap today? Well, listen, the Word of God gives us this account, these two accounts, to teach us. To teach us that Satan opposes and is our adversary. And yes, he opposes the work of God. He opposes the Word of God. But Jesus is our advocate. Praying to the Father, going to the Father on our behalf. He's the righteous one. Victory is found in our faith. Our faith in Jesus. Lord Jesus, this is a precious truth. And God, as we have studied and understood the adversary, this is an encouraging word today. An encouraging word that reminds us that you are for us. You are for our faith as believers, that we might stand for Christ and be used for you. Oh God, I pray that you would strengthen the brethren. I pray that those that are here today that may find them in a dark time, in a time that they feel like they are apart from God, God, I pray that they might return unto you. That they would know your presence today. That they would know your truth. And that your truth would remind them that you are a forgiving God, a gracious God, a God who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we enjoy you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.